Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
He is set up at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas when Matt Granite is there. Will's ways to save with a charger this morning, huh, Matt?
How many smartphones or tablets do you need to charge in your home? It's a lot, right? Great to be with you. I just had to do the math for a second. And if you're still using one of these or some other plug or iPhone charger here, Android charger there, before I join you from the Consumer Electronics Show tomorrow, there is one award-winning gadget from last year that's now on sale that can make a world of difference for your tech. You can see it right here, the stamp of approval as an iPhone-winning Best of CES gadget. Although this works with Android as well, you can even customize the top plate with a family photo. The problem with most quick charge units on the market, you get one or two ports if you're lucky, and these quick charge units cost almost the same thing as this one. This quick charge unit, though, ready to rock for really any device. So as you can see right now, this Android device is being powered and charged safely. We can plug in the iPhone 10, same thing, it's charging. Plug in another iPhone. I mean, you can keep going based on whatever devices your family has. Here is the iPhone 6. Charging, and then even an iPad Pro, and yes, you can add another device after that. This is now charging. It's dead, but it'll charge quickly, all thanks to this gadget. Best of CES, not a paid product, on our website, where I have you covered for your biggest steals in Northeast Ohio. Happy savings. Back to you.
Thanks, Granite. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Granite. Great follow all week from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Watch him on 3, back here same time tomorrow morning.
And I am just a devil with love to spare, so viva Las Vegas.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Cavaliers continue their road trip with a good test tonight in Minnesota. Cavs at 26-13 entering tonight's game. Minnesota 25-16, one of their best starts in franchise history. They've added Jimmy Butler to that young talent like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. 8 o'clock tip, you can hear it right here. Cavs try to make it 2 wins in a row on the road after beating Orlando on Saturday night. Yesterday in Columbus.
Kate on the right point. Throws now Kate to Bates. Diop shoots right to the foul line and hits it.
Silky smooth. Kata Bates-Diop, little fadeaway there.
32 points for Kata Bates-Diop. 79-60, Ohio State.
Ohio State blows out top-ranked Michigan State 80-64. Buckeyes now 4-0 in the Big Ten under first-year head coach Chris Holtmann. NFL division playoffs are now set. First off, we go to New Orleans yesterday as the Saints and Panthers went at it.
Here's Breeze stepping up, delivering down the middle, and it's going to be taken in for the... on the field, Ted Ginn in his hands, and Ted Ginn will go all the way. The former Carolina Panther takes it in stride and has the touchdown as the Saints get it on track with a big play for an 80-yard touchdown reception by Ted.
Ted Ginn Jr. still getting it done, the former Tar Blooder and Buckeye, and New Orleans outscores Carolina 31-26. Very good game there. New Orleans now will move on to meet Minnesota Sunday in the divisional playoffs. Vikings 4-point favorites. Other NFC game will be on Saturday with Atlanta at Philly visiting Falcons favored by 3 as the Eagles have their backup quarterback Nick Foles with Wentz out of there. In the AFC, Jacksonville beat Buffalo 10-3. That's an awful game offensively for both teams, but the Jaguars did beat the Steelers in the regular season, and that's where they'll play again on Sunday. I don't think lightning's going to strike twice for Jacksonville. Steelers are a 7-point favorite, and then Saturday night, the dysfunctional Patriots will host the Titans. New England's only favored by 13.5. Tonight, college football's national title will be on the line as Alabama meets Georgia. The Tide, a 4-point favorite. Nick Saban will coach against his former defensive coordinator, Kirby Smart. Here's what Nick has to say.
I hate to lose. And I've been around Kirby long enough, and he's been on my basketball team long enough that I know he hates to lose, too. And I think that has something to do with it.
And Nick really hates to lose to his former assistant coaches who become head coaches and then coach against him. His all-time record is 11-0. Can Kirby Smart be the first one to get it done? I think he's got a shot. I think Georgia's got a real shot tonight. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM, 1100.
25th Amendment. They bring up the 25th
Amendment? Yes. So 25th Amendment is a concept that is alive every day in the White House.
I'm with the president nearly every day. we engage in complex conversations about some of the most weighty matters facing the world.
I don't think he's crazy. I think he's had a very successful 2017.
Okay. This book is not about my view of Donald Trump. It is about the view of all of the people closest to him.
A few of the highlights of the Sunday shows about the book and about the president. Our Bill Zimfer joins us this morning. Hey, Bill, good morning. Let's start with Fire and Fury. Some reactions, some feedback, and pushback this weekend, right?
Oh, boy, you got it. If you don't know, Bill, who Michael Wolff is, if you didn't know before this weekend or the last week, you certainly do now. He has turned into one of the most visible people on television, made the rounds of the news shows over the weekend, and the 64-year-old columnist and author has really struck a nerve with this book. And it comes down to this. He maintains that everything in the book is factual. In fact, yesterday on Meet the Press, he said that they asked him if he left out some of the good stuff to make this even worse than it might be. He says, you know what? If I left anything out, it was probably the stuff that was more damning about the White House. He says it's worse than anybody thought. In response, the Republican National Committee put out a released its own book cover of a book called Liar and Phony. Trashing it. The White House has called it fiction. And the truth is there are some factual errors in the book that people have pointed out. Most of them are minor errors that probably are a result of trying to rush this thing to publication and just doing a very quick editing job on it and not getting all of the facts correct. However, here is the main theme of the thing, Bill. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times says he gets some of the details wrong, but it could be conceptually true. And a Washington Post writer says basically the same thing. It may have reported some of the details inaccurately, but it doesn't mean the conclusion is wrong. Pretty bad for the White House, and they're going to have to continue to fight this thing.
Let's talk about the fire and fury Trump is coming at this. It came out even Saturday at Camp David. He had a press conference there. GOP leadership was with him. He talked about it some. Bannon did make a statement yesterday about, I did say some things. And Trump's got a day ahead of him. He speaks to the Farm Bureau in Nashville, and he's going to be at the national championship game tonight.
Yeah, so he's going to be out in public, and you better believe that he's going to be hit with questions about this if he takes any questions on it. But again, he has called Michael Wolff a loser, as the president does often fire back at his critics. And you better be looking at Twitter this morning, because I have a feeling the president's going to be up early and tweeting about various things.
All right, Bill Zimfer on it this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Hey, Ron. It's just incredible. There's downhill runners. And so I think that is going to be the key to Georgia. And I think Georgia's very evenly matched up with Alabama. But you've got, like you said, Saban, he's been here many times before. He has 5 national championships. So there's you can't take him lightly by any means.
But Bama's got a few injuries that they've been dealing with defensively, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They got a couple on defense that they're having some issues with, just recent injuries too, but they still have a great defense, and we'll see how those injuries play out. You know, these teams are, I know Georgia certainly is pretty deep in many positions, and so I'm sure Alabama is too, so we'll see how it goes. Georgia's defense is, it does pretty well too, so we'll see how it matches up.
The master Nick Saban against his former right hand, Kirby Smart, of course, at Georgia. John Clark with us from Atlanta. Hey, some stories around this. Looks like President Trump's going to get there, but getting there may be a challenge. Weather in Atlanta today, icy, huh?
Yeah, the weather right now is a bigger story than President Trump coming to town. Right now, I'm actually literally driving down Peachtree Street in Atlanta, and it's fine. There's no traffic on the road because they closed everything today, because this town closes down when we get a little bit of ice. And so the ice and rain, it's supposed to move in the middle of the day. So it's going to be a hour-by-hour thing with that, I think.
Our John Clark in Atlanta this morning, where tonight the national championship will be played between Alabama and Georgia. John, thanks much. Appreciate it.
Sure, anytime.
Later this morning at 7:50, more coverage about the game. Phil Savage, of course, former Browns GM, also handles the Alabama radio broadcast. I think we know who he may side with. Phil will check in at 7:50 this morning, get his take on the matchup tonight in Georgia. Bettors, by the way, favoring Alabama 3.5 to 4 points. With Phil Savage. We'll talk more coming up at 7:50. National news stories we're following for you today. President Trump will end up his day in Atlanta at the national championship game. Speaks in Nashville to some farmers today, the American Farm Bureau Convention. Sharon Reed joins me. Trump's weekend included Camp David with the GOP leadership with him. How'd that go?
Well, they came out very optimistic, talking a lot of different issues. They say that there was good unity among the Republicans, but the problem now is they have to work with the Democrats to come up with some sort of solution on spending because they're running up against another deadline a week from Friday. January 19th is when that stopgap spending measure expires and the government could presumably shut down. So they're working to avoid that. And the big sticking point continues to be immigration. The Democrats want a solution to for Dreamers, the young people who could be deported starting in March because that Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program expires then. So Democrats want that. The president says he'll only sign that if they agree to pay for his wall. And last week, the White House released the price tag for that. They said they need $18 billion over 10 years for a mixture of walls, fencing, and other border security. So that's where they stand. They're far apart. There's a meeting tomorrow at the White House, a bipartisan meeting scheduled to talk immigration to see if they can work it out.
And finally, Sharon, they're already thin as far as the vote margin on the Republican side in the Senate, which, of course, got thinner after the first of the year. So they got to be careful, don't they?
They need, and keep in mind, in the Senate, you need 60 votes to pass these spending bills, at least the procedural parts of them. And you're right, 51 Republicans, they're going to need a few Democrats to come over on their side to agree to it. Now, you know, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, says he thinks that'll happen, but we'll see.
Our Sharon Reed on the news this morning. Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks. Have a great day.
By the way, President Trump pushed back the date for his fake news awards to January 17th. He was supposed to do them today, but he said the schedule's just too much today. So he'll do the fake news awards January 17th. Oh, boy. Rush Limbaugh, get his take on all this. Who follows the news at noon today? WTAM 1100 Radio. WTAM 1100. Home of the Cavaliers. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. The Spill, Wills. Good morning. All right, Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. I think he's moved his way north. John Michael, although, you know, Minneapolis, Orlando, weather was pretty chilly in Orlando, right?
It was, actually. In Orlando, it was like 30 degrees. It's a little cooler up here. But we're all good. Stop number three in our five-game road trip.
Mike Snyder, they're coming off a win. Should that have been as close as it was, though, in Orlando Saturday?
Well, no. I wouldn't say that. But they certainly can score. I'll tell you this, John. I'm calling it the Isaiah effect, and it's very positive in terms of scoring points for the Cavs, isn't it?
I love the Isaiah effect. He got his first start as a Cavalier and 131-127 barn burner in Orlando. So it was all good, and Isaiah's doing his thing, and it's nice to see, Mike. I mean, look, we're in January. We have a long way to go, but this kid is going to be a big part of this Cavalier team and continues to score in bunches in his first two games, and it's good to see. I think, personally, the anticipation is there. I think the same is true for Northeast Ohio. This is a kid who's going to score a lot of points, and it's going to be fun to watch it all unfold.
Yeah, and not only him, though. He's just going to open things for others, too, John. You can already see that in the early going. Now, it will be a little better test here in these upcoming games than it was, say, against Orlando.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it was good. His first two games, Portland, Orlando, they're not exactly big-time defensive teams, and it was nice to see the Cavs put 131 on Orlando. You're right, Mike. It's going to get a little tougher. I think it's going to be more difficult before it gets easier. I think there's going to be some learning pains with Isaiah Thomas coming into this team and, you know, him getting accustomed to things going on. But Mike, he's played 40 minutes. He scored 36 points. This is what he does as a professional scorer. And I think, like a lot of people, I'm excited to see how this all unfolds for this team with Isaiah at the point.
All right, tonight it's Minnesota, John. They added Jimmy Butler this offseason, and it looks like that's finally been kind of that piece that they needed to help the young guys, Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, move forward. They're playing well, aren't they?
You're right, Mike. You know, doing some homework. I looked at this team last year, and I'm like, well, I thought they were right around 500. They were 20 games under 500 last season, 31-51. This year, 9 over. They're right in the mix. They're trying to take the next step into being a contender in the West. And in the West, that takes a lot. You know what I mean? I mean, this team's got to take some strides, got to be like a lot better than they were last season. And they have been. We'll see. You know, this team's got a record very similar to the Cavs. Got a lot of young players, but they've brought some, veteran-wise, they've got some veterans in here. Taj Gibson, guys who have stabilized things for this team. Off the bench, they have Jamal Crawford. So, it's a team that's a lot better. I don't know if they're still a contender in the West, but a team that, they're in the mix in terms of teams who can make a difference in the Western Conference, and I think it'll be a good test for the Cavaliers tonight.
John Michael will call it Cavs Timberwolves, our Window Nation Cavs Now with Nikki Camino at 7, Mike Snyder with the tip-off show, and John Michael and Jim Jones, who joins us this time tomorrow morning with the call, and of course Toronto on Thursday night. John, thanks, pal.
Have a good week, guys.
Watching
and
here.
And boy,
now
this speech from Oprah, pretty strong last night. She was trending for a while on Twitter and social media. Oprah 2020.
Finally,
imagine Oprah going up against President Trump for the White House.
Has to say
entertainment guy Jason Nathanson joins me pulling the all-nighter. Jason, the mood. You were backstage. A lot of pressure on this thing last night.
There was. And, there was a lot of talk about sexual harassment and assault in Hollywood and Me Too and Time's Up. And so many speeches from the beginning, from Nicole Kidman's first speech, she was the first winner, to the end, to Frances McDormand's speech at the end, to Oprah in the middle, which really kind of overshadowed everything. That was one of the issues, is that there were so many speeches, you kind of forget everything everybody said. And a lot of people said a lot of good things, but you can't really remember, Elizabeth Moss said this and Laura Dern said that. It kind of gets washed away, but, everybody's talking about Oprah Winfrey's speech this morning and what a barn burner that was, and, a lot of calls for her to run for president this morning.
Yeah, Oprah 2020 was trending for a while last night. By the way, the other story would be the awards. Golden Globe, any prediction on Oscar on these movie categories?
No, not necessarily. What it does, it creates buzz for the Oscar nominations, which are coming up in a couple weeks. So it puts a lot of these movies on people's minds. But the Golden Globes and the Oscars don't really sync up when it comes to picking winners. One of the reasons is because you break things down into drama and comedy and musical. So you have movies like Lady Bird winning on the comedy side, and Three Billboards winning on the drama side. Three Billboards winning Best Drama, by the way, I think was a big surprise. Of the five movies in that category, that was probably the last one most people thought would win. Some people thought Shape of Water, others thought The Post. Three Billboards, kind of going with the theme of the night, a movie about an empowered but angry and upset mom who wanted to get some vengeance for her daughter who was murdered. Frances McDormand starring in that, a very powerful role for a powerful woman.
Our Jason Nathanson pulling the all-nighter out in L.A., and we certainly appreciate it on the Golden Globes. Thanks, partner.
Take care.